Okay, Jeff Durst.
No comment right now, thanks.
Okay, Philip Locke.
Nothing for me tonight, thank you.
Okay, JB Hatch.
Nothing, thank you.
Nancy Server.
Nothing for me, thank you.
Okay. I think that's all for public comment right now.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Moving forward on the agenda, items number 4 to 10 seem to be Matt or Borough Engineers' responsibility. Yeah. Matt, could I start to off with number 4?
Sure. We forwarded to Sue the a sample resolution for the county liquid fuel aid. It's monies that the county divvies up between all the municipalities from liquid fuel taxes that they get. And Chester Heights portion is $743. And that's not a ton of money, but it's available every year. And we have to pass, or the borough has to pass a resolution to officially request it. So I don't know if we can do that tonight or next week. Either day doesn't really matter, but it's before borough council.
We can have that resolution ready for next Monday's meeting, Matt, if that's okay.
That's fine. Okay, and then next, item 5 is the Brookfield Pump Station. At last meeting with Borough Council, there was a question about the capacity of the pump station at Brookfield. So I had to refresh my memory and dive back into the files. And I issued an email, kind of like a memorandum to Borough Council. I think I sent it out a couple weeks ago. And without going into all the calculations, the design of that pump station took, or let's say if you looked at what was required to service Brookfield, Camp Meeting, all the properties at Smithbridge Road and the firehouse, that equated to 80 gallons per minute if you made all the proper conversions and peaking factors. The pump was rated at 101 gallons per minute with the design parameter. So that was an extra 21 gallons a minute, which equates to 27 EDUs. And EDUs is an equivalent dwelling unit, or it's that amount of flow you'd expect from a typical residential dwelling. So those 27 EDUs, as I recalled, what we wanted to do was make sure that pump station, again, handled Brookfield, handled Camp Meeting, handled the firehouse, handled the properties from, let's say, the intersection of Lenai Road and Llewellyn Llewellyn Road and Valleybrook Road up towards St. Thomas, including the Heather Knoll development. So that was about another 19 lots. And also from the high point of Llewellyn Road down to the firehouse, which was another 8 EDUs. So that's your approximate 27 EDUs. And again, that pump station was specifically designed, or I required it to be designed, for it to handle that whole drainage area naturally, or somewhat naturally, gets to the Brookfield pump station. And just as a note, I think that was a conservative estimation in the permitting process for that pump, because they used a generic pump curve instead of the actual pump curve for the pump. And I think there's probably another close to 20 EDUs available. And on top of all that, if you replace the motor and that pump, go from a 10 horsepower to a 15 horsepower motor, you even get a significant amount of more allocation that pump station can handle. So I hope that answers Borough Council's questions concerning the pump station. Again, it was designed to handle everything which kind of would go by gravity toward that location, and including Smithbridge Road, which the one area which would have to pump up toward the Brookfield development.
Matt, can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
Sorry, Councilwoman Clark. Did you want to go? Go ahead. I'll ask my question after.
Yeah, I mean, so what it's handling is some properties north of Brookfield. And you said, does that include St. Thomas?
St. Thomas, we'd have to for the 27, no, but for my estimation, getting another 45 with the actual pump that was installed, yes. And St. Thomas, again, So it would. And on top of that, it might even be okay at the 27 because their peak flows don't really line up with the housing stock's peak flows.
Right. And so also Heather Lane and the properties along Valley Brook between Brookfield. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
And then so there may even be some capacity left over for Llewellyn, correct?
For Llewellyn, it accounted for the 8 lots, 8 plus or minus. I don't know what the exact count is from the high point of Llewellyn coming down to the firehouse. And then it was thought that as you head toward Aston past the high point, those houses will be picked up by the Rose Hill system. Or have the capability, I should say, to hook up to the Rose Hill system.
And if they increase the pump capacity, it could easily handle all that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you go from a 10-horsepower pump to a 15, I mean, I didn't do that calculation, but that's, I think at that point in time, it could handle anything that could possibly get to it.
Okay, thank you.
Matt, this is Laura. The question that I had was basically about understanding the relationships that you're explaining. You've just described that the pump is available and can support these properties, but it's understood in the community that it's the individual homeowner's requirement to pay for the fee to tap into the septic, into the pump, correct?
Generally, yes.
There's no confusion that any of these developments are going to do that for any of the residents, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. That's all. I appreciate that.
Susan, you had mentioned, I believe, the last meeting that you thought the borough had the wool pulled over its eyes. Is that still how you feel in this matter?
No, because I wasn't sure what the capacity was. The only thing was, the only thing that was a little bit not well understood is the high, what's it called? The high pressure force main along the well, which is would cost homeowners more to tie in.
Okay, very good.
All right. Next, item 6, I think at last borough council meeting, there was also a discussion. The topic of septic system abandonment came up. And I think both Jerry and I reached out to Mike Sciocco, the township sewage enforcement officer. And he directed us to, chapter 149 in the borough code, which has language on covering required covering upon abandonment or termination of septic systems. That includes septic tanks, cesspools, fields, and what have you. So, Mike Sciocco.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Matt and Council, Mike Sciocco did send me an email this morning about it, or this afternoon. And basically, what he explained was the current policy for abandonment of concrete septic tanks and/or cesspools is to have it pumped out, break up the bottom, collapse the sides, and backfill with stone. Although our code could be updated to some extent, he believes that the code is currently satisfactory for the time being. So there is a chapter in our code, it's 149, as Matt indicated, and Mike Sciocco, the sewer enforcement officer, believes that there is a permitting process that residents should follow. And there is a policy in place.
Okay. Item 7, Matson Road paving.
What are we doing with that? Are we going to do more with it, or what's the?
Well, I think the any abandonment of a septic system, whether it's an old cesspool or more modern day septic tanks and pump tanks and what have you, you need to have a permit issued by the borough, and you need to have it approved by the borough's sewage enforcement officer, which is Mike Sciocco. So what Mike was saying that it's for now because he has to, permit has to be obtained, and he oversees it and he directs it and makes sure it's done properly. The wording on how it's done is in the ordinance, but I think what Mike was alluding to, it could be spelled out a little more completely in the ordinance. And maybe that's something the borough would want to do over the next number of months.
Matt, with that in mind, I'll ask Mike Sciocco to attend the meeting on Monday, the regular council meeting, and maybe he could suggest some additional verbiage in that ordinance.
Yeah, very good.
Before we move on, as far as me saying that the borough got the wool pulled over its eyes, I want to revisit that for a second because Conrad said he was going to run sewer down Smithbridge and now he's not.
No, Conrad, I think that's incorrect, Susan.
That's what he said, that he would bring sewer to Llewellyn and to Smithbridge, and now he's just going to tie in the property at the corner.
Where did he say that, Susan? Do we have it documented somewhere?
Yeah, I'm sure it's in the transcript from the public hearings that we had. That was what I recall. He was trying to do that with what, Southwest, and he couldn't. And then he said, well, I just want to tie in my property at the corner then. So no. That was a departure, I think, from what was processed, from what was promised.
That may be the difference in, you know, that the pump station would be designed to have the ability to handle the properties along Smithbridge Road versus, you know, the definitive statement to put the sewers in Smithbridge Road. I'd have to look back at those documents too. I remember it more as just specifically having the pump station designed to handle a service area which flows by gravity towards the pump station, plus Smithbridge Road, which was a little bit of a more peculiar or instance where you had to have a low pressure force main to get the sewage up to the pump station, and that there was properties down Smithbridge Road that was just not residential. There were some businesses, so you had to go through the exercise of computing what the anticipated flow would be from those businesses.
Susan, I think possibly what you might be referring to is 31 Smithbridge, when Mr. Conrad had brought that possible development before Borough. I believe he would have had to have had sewer to that property. Therefore, if that property was developed, he would have had to brought the sewer down from the corner, at least down to the corner of that property. Because we had residents, I believe, that attended a couple of Borough meetings who were just beyond that property, I believe. And we're asking about tie-in.
Matt, yeah, I just remember there's two homeowners along Smithbridge who were hoping to get sewer, and now they're not going to get sewer or be able to tie-in. So, I mean, I think people, when it was proposed, thought they would have the ability to tie-in along Smithbridge, along Valley Brook, and along Llewellyn. I'm not even sure. Did he run sewer up Valley Brook towards Heather Lane or not?
No. I don't know. I mean, his discharge line goes past, into the Rolling Heights Estates development.
Yeah. So I just think what people expected did not happen.
I think those two residents that you're speaking of were just beyond 31 Smithbridge, because I think they had questions about water runoff and what have you also.
No, it was before that. It was before that, I'm pretty sure. I'll have to look up her address. But she had come to Borough meetings a couple of times saying that she wanted water and she wanted sewer and her neighbor. And they were going to talk to Conrad about tying in, you know, when he ran the sewers down the road, they were going to try to tie in. So that's not going to happen now.
There has to be some kind of documentation that we can refer to that could, I don't know. Either end, confirm or deny either side, you know, is there any kind of agreement that I wasn't part of council at that time, but there has to be some kind of agreement or paperwork that Conrad submitted. How do we obtain that to look over and confirm what he promised?
It was a testimony from the public hearings. And somewhere I have it. I have to look, but I don't know.
What year was that, Susan?
We've already approved for him to tie his restaurant or restaurant potential restaurant property into the Brookfield manhole. So, I mean, it's kind of behind us now. But
what year was that, Susan? Do you recall by any chance?
It was. I know one meeting was on July 7th of 2014, but you won't find it on the website because it was testimony. So it was a court reporter. It wasn't minutes of a meeting.
Okay.
Well, then it's in the borough office and it should be easy to search and easy to find. I think there's possibly a disconnect between potential versus promise. And I think that's what we're getting to, is were we misled, or was something promised that
was unable to be delivered based upon Southwest Sewer Authority's input, who at the end of the day has more say than we do, or the contractor. So I think we need to revisit this after there's some research from the public testimony, because that will obviously be somewhere in a record in the borough office.
Matt, question. Who would have the ultimate authority on whether a sewer main is extended or constructed? Would that be the borough or Southwest Sewer Authority?
It's primarily Southwest. I think the borough has assigned all oversight and bill collection and everything else to Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority.
Okay. Sue, I'm sorry, Susan, I will ask Sue Timmons if we could possibly look for that public hearing transcript, if there is one. You believe it's around 2014?
Yeah, it was definitely 2014. It was the summer of 2014. And like I said, they sent it to me. I just don't know where it is, to be honest, but.
Okay. I will ask her about that tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. I just know what people thought was going to happen. I know what that was. How it was couched, it may have been couched very carefully and widely misunderstood by what people thought they were going to get.
I mean, I attended that meeting. I don't remember feeling like he walked away promising anything, but I also don't live on Smith Bridge Road, so it registered only so much.
Okay, Matt, were you on item number 7, I believe?
7, yes. Matson Road. Since last meeting, I performed a site visit with an associate. We measured up Matson Road, determined what improvements needed to be done, which is more or less an overlay, with the caveat, though, at the low point of that road, as you pass over the bridge heading towards Concord, the road narrows there quite a bit, and I think a lot of trucks and cars run off the road and create ruts on the side of the road, which then in turn starts to break up the road, and that's what we've had a problem there for before. So on top of resurfacing the road, we're proposing to do some widening of Matson Road, again, about 150 feet of, or no, about, excuse me, about 200-foot length of roadway right there at the low area, so that we don't have that problem with cars running off the road, creating ruts, and peeling away the edge of the paved surface. So we prepared a bidding document. It is completed with borough council's approval. I would like to advertise that bid specification to have the bids ready for your May work session meeting.
Okay, great.
Mr. President, this is Philip Block, 357 Willits Way. I know it's not public comment, but I have a little bit of information because I walk that road every day, and I don't know if my comments would help or not. I could wait till public session or not.
No, Phil, why don't you jump in right now?
Matt, just also, it's not trucks and stuff, but during fishing season, we get a tremendous amount of people pulling off the road.
Yeah, right.
That's probably where most of the ruts are coming from, right in that flat area. And also, I walk that every day. We've had some significant rainstorms, which I'm sure you've seen if you go slightly up the hill away from the bridge. There's been a lot of runoff erosion, which has somewhat crept under the bed and has caused some pieces to fall off the road bed. I don't know if that changes anything in your calculations, but get a lot of people pulling off the road there into that flat area especially during fishing season, and they really tear up that area down there.
Right. And that that runoff, I guess, is you're heading toward Concord on the left-hand side of the road, Philip?
It's actually a little bit on both sides, it's mostly, if you're heading towards Valley Brook, it's on the left. Right above that parking area, if you go up the hill. But there is definitely some on the right side of the road as well, a little further up the hill.
Yeah. Noted. And our intent to widen the road a bit, you know, is not to provide any, you know, parking access for those vehicles. But again, just to get more cartway there to, again, to limit the amount of times that you have vehicles riding just on the edge of the road. The road there was only 18 feet wide. That is clearly not wide enough for a collector street. Yep. So we want to get it up. We want to get it up to about 22 foot wide.
And forgive me if these questions are irrelevant, but is that borough property or is that private property? When you talk about widening a road, is that something that's going to need homeowner's permission or anything?
No, we have the right of way. There's at least a 33 foot wide right of way on the Rockford Estates side. It's probably the total right of way width is 46 and a half feet. So, yeah. And again, we're only widening a couple feet on either side. So we're well within the borough's right of way.
And does that, do you think that'll have a significant impact on budget that we had set for that?
I'm going to run the numbers. I'll shoot that off to you, Dave, but yeah, it's going to be a little bit more, how much, I didn't calculate yet. I'll do that.
Hopefully it's $743, right?
Yeah.
I honestly don't have a problem with people pulling off and going fishing. I think that's a good activity to partake in. I guess my next question would be, is there a way to kind of mitigate the damage that a truck or a car pulling off to go fishing would cause, like maybe gravel on the side of the road or something along those lines? And I'm just thinking out loud.
I mean, you could beef up the gravel shoulder. Yes, you could do that.
Would we be promoting parking there then, Matt?
You may, yeah.
They park there anyway.
if they're going to do it, they're going to do it either way. So
yeah, on the weekends, there's like 6 or 7 pretty heavy-duty trucks, you know, pickup trucks that park there. And it's not bad. I mean, you know, I'm glad people are enjoying the thing, but it does chew up the ground there. And I've seen a significant amount of erosion this year right around that area and up the road. Thank you for letting me make those comments. I appreciate it.
Sure. So, Matt, while they will be there working on the road, would it be to our advantage at that point, cost-wise, to have them stone that area maybe? Or
You could. I mean, the application of stone is not a very expensive endeavor. You know, I don't know if the residents on either side, whether it's the HOA of Rockford Estates or the property on the other side, you know, whether they would object to what they might perceive as the borough encouraging, you know, use of that ground for parking.
Sure.
Well, since I'm the president of the Rockford Estates Homeowners Association, I support it. I will ask. My only concern is the homeowner at the corner of Madsen and Willits Way might have some issues, but I don't think the Homeowners Association would.
Okay. If borough council would like, I guess as an ad alternate, I could include in, you know, amend the spec to have a separate line item for that, and then see what the price comes in at. And, you know, borough council can make a decision after looking at the price and maybe doing a little more investigation.
Or that sounds fine, Matt. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Item 8, down at the other end of Heather Lane, as you recall, last year we had a storm sewer, which was the last inlet at the cul-de-sac of Heather Lane goes by Mr. Harry Amy's property, goes on the right-hand side of his house, and the pipe had separated and caused very excessive erosion, and he was concerned about trees falling on his residence. Last year, the borough hired a contractor to remove, so I think, about 5 of those trees. So they're gone, the ones that were getting undermined. Late last fall, we put out bid requests, informal bid requests, to extend the storm sewer down that eroded gully a little bit more and backfill the large ravine there. But those prices came in over the formal bid process number. So we had to drop back and then go ahead and file the formal bid process. And since it was late last year, that didn't happen. I've talked to Harry Amy a couple of times this year. He's very anxious. So as soon as we get the Matson Road bid out in the street, we're going to follow up with the another bid document for repairing that storm sewer and filling in that ravine a little bit next to the Amy residence. That could very well be the next meeting also. And I think all that process has been previously approved by Borough Council. So we'll just proceed and get that bid document out with advertising and formal bid process and re-receive numbers on that work that needs to be done.
Perfect.
Number 9 on Rolling Heights Storm Basin. I'm just finishing up with DEP. Our required sediment load reduction for the borough. It's been an ongoing process for a couple years. Based on our storm sewer sheds, which is that area or amount of land which drains toward either our borough roads or borough storm sewer collection systems or borough-owned property, that based on that drainage area, you calculate a sediment load, and then the pollutant reduction plan is supposed to reduce that load by 10%. So I think finally with DEP agreed on a number of what our load is. We now have to take the next step to have a plan to reduce that load by 10%. What I'm going to do over the next month to two is develop options, and they have to be for several watersheds. I guess one watershed is the Chester Creek watershed. The other one is the West Branch watershed. And I guess what's listed here is Rolling Heights, because that basin seemed to have been one that's readily accessible and enough drainage area to it where it make a meaningful dent or require 10% reduction. But I'm going to lay out for Borough Council, you know, 3 or 4 possibilities for each watershed, or at least a couple of possibilities for each watershed, and then have some discussion with Borough Council, decide which is the most appropriate way to proceed, run that by DEP, which they'll be fine with, and then, you know, that would have to go out for bids for work to be done also. Although I don't see that being done till probably midsummer, by the time that's all coordinated with DEP and Borough Council.
Matt, where is the storm basin for Rolling Heights?
If you go in the entrance and then you bear to your right, I guess is that Wilson? No, that's still Rolling Heights Lane, isn't it? Wilson goes to the left.
It's like straight behind my house, Susan. You walk straight and go left about.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 15 yards, 20 yards into the woods there.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
hey, Matt.
Yes.
Forget the
name. I was going to ask you, when you do the storm basin work to support the MS4, what do we need to do to show the work? Do you take a bunch of pictures to prove before and after? I know you have a plan in DEP. Approves the plan, but how do we document historically that we've actually done it?
Well, we'd have to prepare plans for the required work. They would be the basis for the bids that we received and award the bid, and the borough would oversee the work to make sure it was done properly. I'm sure, I guess if we get to the point of reporting to DEP, we provide them the plan, we provide them the bid document or the contract, and in all likelihood, we probably would give them before and after pictures too.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
So again, for the PRP, the MS4 plan, that would be like midsummer, but more in the immediate future, be approaching Borough Council with a couple alternatives that we just need to talk through, make sure everybody's on board, nobody has any issues before we go out and prepare some bidding documents for that proposed work. And item 10, the Wawa Road Bridge deterioration. I guess we all got another email from a resident there. I emailed Charles Doherty, who used to be the representative from PennDOT up at Bortondale. I emailed him a couple of times. I didn't receive a reply, and I think it's because he's been reassigned to a different district, now dealing with another gentleman. They've come, as you recall, they informed the borough that they're not responsible for subsurface utilities, including drainage facilities, and that could be interpreted as storm sewer. I'm inquiring to PennDOT whether a culvert, which merely takes water from one side of the road to the other and not travels longitudinally along the road, if their stance is still going to be that that's the borough responsibilities or the state's responsibility. I'm trying to make the case that it's the state's responsibility so that they'll have to, you know, do whatever repairs or replacements that culvert is required.
Yeah, I think there were also some specific questions from residents about maintaining the integrity of the stone on Wawa Road specifically. But to your point about that conversation between PennDOT and the state, we had reached out to the PSAB, Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs, and they also had several other municipalities and townships and boroughs that were kind of fighting against the new ruling, putting the burden back onto the borough. So I haven't heard anything on that, but I can follow up with my contacts to see if it's helpful at all for your conversation.
Councilman Fersker, about a month or two ago, you asked me to look at it and research the matter. So I put together some research. I actually sent it to Matt. I guess Matt and I just need to discuss it before I send it off to your committee. Okay. But I did researched it. I looked at a whole number of documents and their policy, their maintenance agreements and things of that nature. So once I have a conversation with Matt, I'll be more than happy to send that off to you. And, you know, you can take a look at what the results of my research was.
Thank you, Jerry.
And some of the issues. You're welcome.
And that brings us to item 11, park and playground equipment update. I don't know, Laura, do you want to kick that off?
Sure. Sure. First of all, for the soft stuff at the park, we've got one of our landscapers, Keith Lawless. He came out last week and he removed a tree in preparation for getting the all access swings installed. And he also, if you go by the park, you'll see that they've reduced the right side of the park, all of the wild honeysuckle that was growing. He removed that so we can add more grass there to optimize that space there on the right side of the soccer field. The big stuff about the playground equipment has just, it's arrived. Right now we're working with the general contractor to finalize the estimates for all the line items of the work that has to be done. Matt and I talked about this morning, and we're doing a little bit of research, but I think we're almost there. Right now, the general contractor has us penciled in for late May, and so we just have to go back and give him the heads up to go ahead and proceed and that we agree on the price of the labor. So that's kind of where we're at. I've already reached out to County Press, and I've asked them to create a sign that says under construction. So about two or three days before they arrive, we can put that out there. I've already reached out to Yasu. That was the gentleman, the contractor that did the markers for the property markers for the park, and asked him if he could go and look at, we're going to chain off the drives. So while the safety equipment or the equipment is there and they're removing the playground, they're installing it, we don't want families at the park for safety reasons. So we're going to chain that up and we're going to, we have an old chain there. We have to make a new one and put it up there so it can be secured safely. The other thing, Drew installed two bluebird houses a couple weeks ago. I've already seen some birds there. So thank you, Drew, for doing that. We appreciate that. So that's the park update. So if there's no questions or if Matt, if there's anything that you want to add to it for the park update.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are we putting lights in the park?
Yeah, Matt, do you want to speak to that?
I think it's the intent of the borough to eventually have some lighting there, basically for the fall, I guess, and maybe early spring when the clocks are turned back to light the field
I don't know, Laura, what are we talking about, up to like 8 or 8:30, not maybe 8 o'clock, not very late.
Right, 8:30. So one of the things that we had talked about was we met with the Mr. Sirkin, I hope I say his name right, who is the nearest resident, and we met him and his wife at the park, and we talked about our ideas, and we were just doing investigative work, and we wanted to see if they had any questions and concerns. They had some really great input. And one of their inputs was to incorporate one or two closer residents in the discussion as well. And then Matt was going to do some research on the quality of the lighting. But the big picture plan is to have lights on 24-foot high poles facing down just at the field, maybe have one behind the playground equipment shining on the playground equipment when there's evening events from 5:30, 6 o'clock to 8:30 at night. In those late months when outdoor sports are still going on, but our soccer field doesn't offer that because it's pitch black. So that's kind of where we're at. I think we're still, I would say to say that we're in the investigative phase of it right now, just doing some research. But yeah, long-term, the goal is to get lights, but we're not there yet.
Matt, I have a question for you. Did the amount of this playground equipment exceed the amount whereby we need to do a bid process for it?
I think the borough used a CoStar contractor so that those contracts are established by the state every year. And if you use a CoStar vendor, they're already pre-qualified and their bidding price is already accepted. So
yeah, we did. And the only thing we had to do was we had to go work with the Department of Labor for Pennsylvania's Department of Labor to determine prevailing wages. Because prevailing wages applied to the labor that we're going to see at the park.
Okay.
And Ray Akabuchi is starting the Rose Hill development, if anybody's ridden by there of late. And the contractor for the park to level out the park at the far end away from the road, grade starts to fall a little bit, and they needed fill to bring up the grade of the backside of the play area to make it level or nearly level, and Ray does have extra dirt, and he offered to drop 4 truckloads of dirt off at the park that the contractor can use, so that would save the borough a little bit of money instead of paying the contractor to haul in dirt. And if there's no objection from borough council, Ray Akabuchi can do that as early as this Wednesday. It would be around the perimeter of the playground area, far enough away where the playground could still be used, but it would be there so that when the contractor starts that work, he'll have the fill to do the grade alterations.
Matt, do you think if that dirt is dumped too far in advance of it being spread, that kids might play on the piles and it might potentially be a safety hazard?
Well, I guess it would be very inviting to a child. As I recall, many years ago, climbing on a dirt pile was always a little bit of fun.
King of the mountain.
Yeah. I can call Ray and see if it can be deferred to a little bit later in the month.
Okay.
Or I should say into May, toward the second or third week of May.
Sure. Okay.
Hey, Laura. Quick question regarding the park over here with the electrical. Drew, I'm working on this guy, Dan Long, you gave him from CWA, Twitter out there.
Correct.
So I have a message and a texting with him. And then once I meet him there to see the logistics of what we're, what we can do there, water wise and where locations, then I'll have a plumber come out there and kind of give us a rough idea. We can reconvene on what exactly we want there. But while we're on the electrical, I know that's up in the air right now, but do you think that's something that we should contact? Because there's no electrical at that park, correct?
Correct.
So we have no service there either.
There's no service. So that would probably be a phone call to Pico New Business, probably.
So, yeah, what I was going to suggest until the time comes as far as is, lighting and everything is at least to get, whether it's a pole in there or an underground service or something, or maybe even the possibility of a street light on there for now, just something that can be monitored and metered until we can you know, we decide whether it's the fall or next spring or what have you to do whatever lighting we're going to do.
Yeah. Sure. There's actually a pole mounted just to the left of the entrance.
Okay.
With a service coming through that feeds the spotlight. Matt, do we know who that spotlight belongs to?
No, I don't.
Okay. There's a point of reference. Has something to do with
Higgins, maybe? I thought we talked to Higgins about the lighting at the park at one point.
Yeah, okay. We have been talking to Higgins, and you know, we're getting an approximate plan together exactly what would be required. We might need a transformer, I guess, on the property somewhere to feed those field lights.
Are we running water to the park too?
Yes.
The primary park that needs water is the DeSalvo Park, the one right there beside the firehouse. With us spending the money on landscaping and having it nicer, we wanted to bring water to that Chester Heights Borough sign. And then with the level of effort to get that, we also wanted to try and get estimates to see what it would cost to bring water to the park.
Well,
I mean, in the future, we could do a water fountain. I mean, there's lots of things that a park could offer if we had water there.
DeSalvo is the firehouse park there with the Chester Heights sign. That's just strictly for watering purposes, correct?
Correct. It's not potable water. It's just water for plants.
So I think we had talked about this before, Lar, about the fire company, using the fire company as far as a water feed from, and then just paying them rent for water usage, which would be very minimal, you know what I mean? Tapping into their water there on the side of the building.
That's a possibility, but obviously that would have to be agreed upon by the fire company.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, Bob, I remember that conversation. I think the fire company was very open and amenable to that. So
yeah, even if it's, you know, if they say it's $10 a month or whatever, you know what I mean? Just to show that we're keeping it a business, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think it'll save a lot of time and effort rather than get, I don't know what Chester Water Authority's intake is going to be as far as putting a service for a spigot at a sign for a, you know what I mean? So I'll call, I guess what, Iannucci, Sam Iannucci?
Sam's son is actually the chief, so he might be the one to talk to.
Just talk to him.
Yeah. Okay.
And thank you, Bob, for working the water and the electricity. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Okay, Laura, anything further on park and playground equipment update?
No, that is all, unless there's a question. That's all.
Okay, Laura, thank you. Matt, thank you. Moving forward, item number 12, West Nile virus meeting.
Yeah, okay, so this is a good one. This is perfect timing. So a couple weeks ago, I met Chad Kennard with the Mosquito-Borne Disease Control Program of Delaware County at our park. And we also met with the president of the Village of Valley Brook HOA. And basically, his biggest concern, Mr. Kennard's concern, was that the borough of Chester Heights has kind of fallen off of their quarterly inspections. And they have seen an increase in the West Nile virus transported by mosquitoes. So he walked through the park with us, and he did identify some areas that were great harvesting areas for the West Nile and just mosquitoes in general. And he also just asked me to remind the community that if you have a tire filled with water or an old flower pot filled with water, this is the time of year right now where mosquitoes can mature and grow, and that's a concern because they are seeing increases in the West Nile virus on the East Coast. And then he went out and he put some traps out there, and he's going to include the borough of Chester Heights on a quarterly basis and provide an update. And he provided one on Friday, and I just wanted to offer it. And I believe Sue sent it to Village of Valley Brook HOA. But basically, he says that I think there's going to be more mosquito season, more activity this year. I collected traps from the Village of Valley Brook and the Valley Brook sewage treatment plants. And comparing last year's numbers to this year's, last year we got 0 to 10 mosquitoes in April of 2020. And this year we have already caught over 100. So please ask your residents to be mindful, watch out for standing water. He also provided two boxes filled with, if you have standing water and you can't get rid of it, little trays that you can come to the borough and just pick up for free, and you can just put it out there in the standing water and it'll kill the mosquito eggs. So he's very kind, very helpful, and we should be getting a lot more information from him in the upcoming months.
Is he a government official of some kind?
Yes.
What agency is it?
Let me look at his signature block. No. It's the disease control program. Hold on. I'm trying to look for his signature block in his email. Sue, you're free to chime in if you have his
signature. He's a county employee.
Okay.
Yeah.
For intermittent health.
Yeah, okay. This is Philip Block again, with regards to Rockford Estates. We have an EPA floodplain that has had standing water almost for 9 months now because of the rain. And we also have two catch basins. And we've actually had some of the Homeowners Association residents ask about traps. How many traps do we have, and are they available that I can pick some up?
Absolutely. We have two boxes, and in each box is about 20 of them. And then each container has two little discs. And they look like little gray pieces of charcoal. And he says you just put that in the standing water. And on the back of the container, it actually lists, how much square feet for one little tablet.
Great. Because, almost our entire creek-facing property has standing water on it, as well as our basin. So,
right.
If he ever comes back, we'd love to get him to come out and look at the creek area that we have. But I'll stop by this week. If I could pick some up, that would be great.
Absolutely. And I'm sure when you stop by, Sue can give you his point of contact information, and you can reach out to him directly.
Yes, Phil, I'll email you.
Thank you all very much. I greatly appreciate it.
No, I understand.
Okay, moving forward, item number 13, Laura, I believe that falls under your committee also.
Yes, this is from the Finance Committee, and this is just a follow-up from last council meeting. Basically, I just wanted to confirm with everybody, so everybody is comfortable in understanding, that the $305,000 that we proposed to go into the Santon Air Bank, it is insured by the Pennsylvania Act of 1972. I asked Sue to send an email out to everybody, but I did want to let everybody know that it is insured. And we also received a collateralization letter from Santon Air. They have holdings of $302 million in New York, and it's for all public funds, banks that they hold, which our funds are. So, yes, our funds are insured up to 102% of the face value. That's all.
Great. Laura, thank you. Any questions for Laura on that matter from any council members? Okay, moving forward, item number 14, official name for Darlington Creek Park or Hammonesset Creek Park. Sue Timmons has been in contact with Liz Clark from the DCNR this week. Sue, could you fill us in on the conversations you've been having with her in regards to this?
Yes, the borough received a grant from the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources in the amount of $186,227 for the purchase of the Strine property. Natural Lands Trust prepared the grant application, and they used the name Hammonesset Creek Park. I know some council members refer to the park as Darlington Creek Park. To comply with Article 17 of the grant agreement, it's required for the borough to place a permanent sign on the project site acknowledging the assistance from DCNR. So basically, council needs to officially name the park and send a formal letter to DCNR before they have the sign made.
So with that being said, I don't want to put any council members on the spot tonight, but maybe on the agenda for the meeting this coming Monday, we will ask to see what the majority would like to see the park called. Does that sound fair to everyone?
Yes. And then, Drew, can I – I did a little research on this, and I just wanted to give council time to think about it.
So I did a little research on Hammonasset because I thought it was an Indian name, and it is an Indian name from an Indian tribe in Rhode Island. And a doctor brought it to the borough of Chester Heights, and he named that area Hammonasset. But we actually don't have Hammonasset Native Americans here in Pennsylvania. I just wanted to bring that to light. Darlington Creek Park, obviously, is the name associated with the park and the creek right aside of it.
It's a little more descriptive of where it is, too. Hammonasset, no one will know what that is.
Also easier to spell.
Yes.
So important, yes.
Good one, Gina Marie.
Well, I'm the one that writes everything having to do with Hammonasset and the borough, and my computer's finally learned the word, but it's a difficult word to spell. Is it two M's? Is it two T's? Is it two S's? Where is it? I think I pretty much just gave my opinion. I know it's not next Monday yet, but there we are. It's also connected to another park that says Darlington, and it's on Darlington Road. And the Darlington family used to own land on that road, and they are native to Delaware County. So lots of arguments for Darlington Creek right there.
Okay, with all that being said, I would entertain at this time a motion if someone would be so willing to name the park officially Darlington Creek Park.
I'll make the motion to name the park that DCNR helped us with the grant to call it Darlington Creek Park.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion.
Totally agree with Hammonasset being difficult to spell and say.
And like I said, Darlington Creek Park, people will know where it is, but Hammonasset won't have any GPS for them.
Okay. With no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is approved. Sue Timmons, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving forward, we have old business tonight. Susan, I believe you have some old business.
Yes. I want to talk about the medical marijuana. I don't think this will take long. Matt did give us a look at properties like places along Baltimore Pike where a dispensary could be located, and it would be at least 250 feet away from a residence. And so that is a possibility. And I was saying that my driveway is 450 feet, and I think 250 feet may not sound like much, but it prevents the dispensary from being right on top of a residence. So I think it's a good way to go. I guess I just wanted to see if there was any feedback on that, and that would sort of be our assumption for the ordinance.
Matt, did you say that you had a map and you were seeing what properties that would coincide with 250 linear feet?
Right. At first, we tried, right, I guess the thinking was to keep the land which would be available for dispensary along Route 1. And then we looked at 1,000-foot radius, and that clearly knocked all the properties out. So, you know, if you're going to pass an ordinance that you have no land where it would comply with seemed to be an issue. So we reduced it to 500, and again, there was no properties, places that you could build or place a dispensary that wouldn't be within 500 feet of a residential use. So we went down to 250, and that opened up some ground. It was basically on the south side. It was Wawa Corporate's property, and I think Fred still owns a couple pieces of ground next to the corporate red roof. And then some of the buildings on the north side around the 53 West, the three-story brick building. So it wasn't a ton of properties, but at least it was some places that if the borough is going to go through the effort to pass an ordinance to cover themselves, but have it in a place that's acceptable to borough council, that it seems like a 250-foot radius would be appropriate.
All right. I guess if there's no questions, Jerry, we can move forward with that assumption for the actual ordinance. And I think that you and Matt were also going to talk about the growers ordinance, correct?
That's correct. So I'll make the revision to the dispensary ordinance. And then I did have a brief discussion with Matt today before the meeting. And I looked at the article, I guess it's 14, related to limited industrial districts. And that is where the by right, it would include manufacturing, processing, and assembly. So I think that's where the growing ordinance would be. I don't think there would be a need for any fee limitation. So with those two in mind, my only other suggestion would be to have Rich Jensen, the zoning hearing officer, and the one that would review it, to maybe look a little bit more closely at the growing ordinance, and have any thoughts that he might want to comment on with regard to that. And then once that's done, I can put those two ordinances together, and I would then send them off to the Delaware County Planning Commission and our Borough Planning Commission in anticipation of publishing them and holding a hearing within the next couple of months.
And Jerry, the Article 14 you talked about, that's a Pennsylvania state article that regulates medical marijuana, correct?
No, I was talking about our borough code with regard to our zoning ordinance. I think it's chapter 185.9. It would be limited. The borough has two, in addition to the business district, you also have a planned laboratory office district. And then you have also the borough has a limited industrial district. I think it's probably more relevant to put it in a limited industrial district because the use regulations involve manufacture, compounding, processing, assembly, treatment, packaging. So I think that's probably where it would more appropriately fit. And I think I would ask Mr. Jensen to comment on that for the borough before you go ahead and have any type of public hearing. And then you would, ask the Delaware County Planning and our borough planning to review it and make any comments so that if there is a substantial change, you can make that change before you advertise it for a public hearing, as opposed to having a public hearing, having to change it substantially, and then having to incur additional costs.
So we take it to the Delco Planning Commission and the Chester Heights Planning Commission concurrently. And then once they give us comments back, we would make those updates, then have a public hearing.
That's correct. You would advertise it for adoption, essentially. Mm-hmm. Have a public hearing. And then determine what approve. Either approve the adoption of the ordinance.
We would have to have a vote to approve the advertisement of the public hearing first, correct?
You would make a motion to authorize the solicitor to advertise the ordinance.
Okay.
And then have a public hearing, accept public, comment on it. And then anybody wants to comment, determine, after hearing the public comment and discussing it, you would then make a motion to either adopt it or not adopt it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Sue, I have a question. In all your research for this medical marijuana, is there a tax that is levied for selling medical marijuana?
Are you asking me or Sue Timmons?
I'm sorry, Councilwoman Clark. Sorry.
I have heard nothing of a tax that we would levy. I guess that would be a question for the Finance Committee.
I was just curious if you'd seen any research on that or anything. I know it's unique and it's evolving across the country, and that's just something that I hadn't seen.
I haven't heard nothing about that.
Okay.
Okay, Susan, anything further?
No.
Okay, thank you. Moving forward, prior to jumping into new business, just a quick note. In a late conversation I had today with Jerry, council will be airing an executive session in regard to real estate and also a litigation matter. Moving forward, item 16, new business. Jerry, do you want to inform us on the car wash?
Yes, Mr. President. So on April 6th, we received a notice from Darren Campangi, the manager for DJ Car Wash, and he notified the borough that he is withdrawing his land development application. He had initially submitted a land development application and then withdrew it officially on April the 6th. So that corner property that is was planned to have a, that you had a zoning hearing board decision on, that is no longer going to be developed as a car wash. I believe it's still owned by the Madison company, but it's not going to be developed anytime soon, if at all. I don't believe it's going to be developed as a car wash.
Jerry, can I ask a question regarding that property now that that contract is no longer happening and that property is no longer under agreement? Is this a good opportunity for us to maybe revisit the zoning of that corner to maybe make it just, I guess, B1, as opposed to having the question that we had regarding having a zoning hearing, because is a car wash under our ordinance or not? And I know there was a little bit of a question there. I know there was also a lot of pushback about the car wash. So should we maybe look into revisiting rezoning that corner to prevent needing a zoning hearing moving forward for any future agreements that might happen on that corner?
Sure. I mean, it would be appropriate at this time to look at the B1 business district and then determine what by right uses there are, and what accessory uses there might be, and then have a discussion on that. I think part of the issue was that it wasn't defined as well as it could be, and therefore there was some discussion about whether it was or wasn't and the need as a special exception. So you might want to look at it.
Okay, I just feel like as we move forward with more things coming to the Zoning Hearing Board and more topics coming across Borough Council, that we start thinking ahead and saying, okay, where were problems before, or where was there a lot of issues before? And if there were any ambiguity in our codes, when we have the opportunity, it's a good time to review our codes while there isn't anything before Council, to maybe make changes before we end up with something in front of us that might be unattractive to the community. So Susan, I'm sorry, Councilwoman Clark, it looks like we're putting something else on your committee's table, if you don't mind.
Talk to Jerry about it.
Okay, thank you both.
You're welcome.
Hey Jerry, thank you. Anything further?
No, I'll save it for executive session. Thank you.
Okay. At this point, there's an additional period for public comment. We ask that you state your name and address for the record.
Let's go. Nancy Server, do you have anything further for Borough Council?
I do not, thank you.
Okay. Marta?
I have a question about the car wash withdrawal. There was some digging going on there before he put in that he was going to withdraw the land development plan. I'm wondering if there were any results from his soil testing that were shared with the borough that maybe you could share with the public, if you did receive any.
Jerry, is that something you can answer as a
borough? I had a brief conversation with him when he notified the borough that he was no longer going to proceed. It's my understanding that he pretty much just told me that the cost of developing the property was too problematic for him. I have not seen anything in writing with regard to the results of any testing that he has done, but he said that the cost just outweighed the and the rest just outweighed the developing that property for a project. I guess between a zoning hearing matter and what he had to outlay those costs, and I guess I was never privy to any of the contracts he had with or agreements that he had with Madison, but he told me essentially that the cost was too much at that point, and he was withdrawing his land development plan.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Jeff Durst, do you have anything?
No comment right now. Thank you.
Philip Block?
No, thank you.
J.B. Hatch?
Nothing. Thank you.
Ron Serkin?
No, nothing. Thanks.
Okay. Sam Iannucci? Okay, I'm not hearing anything from Sam, so I would assume.
He's on mute.
I know he's on mute.
Did you mute him?
I don't mute him. Sometimes I'd like to, but you know, I got to watch what I say on these things.
Yeah, you should watch what you say. I have nothing. Thank you.
All right, Drew, that's all.
Okay, Larry, thank you. At this time, Borough Council will be entering into executive session in matters of real estate and also a litigation matter.
Okay.
Mr. President, I assume we have to let the public know when we're coming back on from an executive session. I don't believe this will take no more than 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, so currently the time is 8:11. We will be exiting.
Do you want me to stay on, Drew, or should I get off?
It's not Matt. Jerry, do we need Matt?
No, I don't think. I think Matt can be excused.
Okay.
Okay, Matt, you're excused.
All righty.
It's currently 8:11. Jerry, what time do you think that we can agree to reconvene the regular portion of the council meeting?
I would think no later than 8:20.
8:20?
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine it's going to take more than 10 minutes.
Okay. So, Larry, is there a way to excuse all others and then let them re-enter the meeting at 8:20?
Yeah.
Okay.
Drew, can I just ask, is there anything that's going to be substantive after you come back, or is it just to come back to adjourn?
We're coming back to a possible motion, Ron.
Oh, okay.
That's correct.
And then an adjournment after that, right?
Correct. That's correct.
That's all.
Okay, so 8:20 is the agreed upon time. Larry, is that fine?
That's fine.
Okay, so right now it's 8:12. We will leave the regular council meeting and enter the executive session.
All right. I'm asking Sam, Ron, JB Hatch to leave. Hold on. Okay. It's all yours.
Okay, Jerry, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
Do we need do we need to stop recording at this point?
Yes, Larry needs to stop it.
But Larry is not on anymore.
Oh, Larry excused himself.
Away. Am I the only one saying that it looks like Glenn, is it Glenn Mann? Glenn entered the waiting room. Are we waiting to admit him?
He's not part of this executive session.
Huh. Okay. Well, then I'm leaving it.
Can I speak?
I assume this is being recorded. Here's Larry.
Larry,
say it again. The what?
That little park across from Westlake Plastics.
Yes.
Maybe we can repurpose some of the money there.
We could, sure.
And two people are already in the waiting room. Why do I see this?
Because you're in charge now. You have to let them in.
I have to let them in. Okay. Yeah.
All I'm doing is recording now.
All right. It's Glenn and Ron Serkin. Here we go. I am though. And Sam's coming back too. Sorry, that's what I do at work, is I announce who's coming in as they come in. And no more.
Okay, Larry, I have 8:21.
Yep.
Okay, it's currently 8:21. We are now re-entering the regular portion of the work session meeting. With that being said, do I have a motion to authorize the borough alternate solicitor, Mike Madrin, to sign the stipulation, which would agree to the 2021 tax year assessment value for Darlington Square to be set at $3.5 million?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. And finally, on tonight's agenda, do I have a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
I'll make the motion.
For a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Thank you, everyone. Larry, thank you, as always.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.